Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. My name is Violet Blue. My website is tinynibbles.com. You can learn more about me also by visiting my other websites, techyum.com, which is my tech blog, or visiting digitapub.com, which is where you can find audiobooks and ebooks that are self-published with no DRM. Some are free, and it's just a fun place to visit. I write the sex column for the San Francisco Chronicle, and I'm the author of many, many books. I'm known for a lot of things, but what I wanted to read to you tonight is the introduction to my newest book that just came out, Best Women's Erotica 2009. It wasn't supposed to come out until December 11th, so I'm pretty excited that it's out early. And while this isn't a titillating or erotic story by any means, it's actually not even a story, it's the introduction to the book. It sort of tells you what's in the book and what it's about, and I think that you'll find the concept of this year-long project, which is, it really is a labor of love, coming through hundreds and hundreds of erotica submissions from all over the world, from women writing erotica by women for women, and really picking out what I think is the best and under a certain theme. So I'm just going to stop rambling now and read you the introduction. It's called Persephone Comes of Age. When you're ready, really ready for sex, desire becomes an ache, a throb that pulses with the rhythm of your blood beating in your head and between your legs. You want to peel away the layers obscuring your object of desire until you get to the juicy, sweet fruit within. And when you finally sink your teeth in, the initiation begins. The only problem, of course, with using a ripening fruit analogy for sexual initiation and Eros's coming of age, when he sits on your chest and plucks at the strings between pussy and heart until you sing with desperate want, is that fruit only ripens once. Yet, as desire for the thing we've never had burns through us, consumes us, then somehow, magically, with sex as with nothing else, the cycle begins again. We do not rot. We swell and grow juicy, and pick the flower that pulls us into the underworld, and we beg Hades for another deflowering. We demand it. The clocks and calendars conspired against Persephone. She had never intended to spend her afternoons with her virginity clamped furtively between her legs, her mind insanely playing blue movies of hardcore decadence on the screen behind her eyes. Persephone, a girl stuck frolicking in fields of flowers with a bunch of boring maidens who had no fucking idea how good it felt to rub yourself to wet explosion thinking of huge-cocked satyrs, nubile and voluptuous and wet nymphs, costume parties where only masks and eager mouths were required for entry, trapped among idiots staring at flowers all day. I'm sure Persephone hated being a virgin, forced to navigate her lust with hot and prickly skin, perfecting quiet masturbation, and wandering those damn flower fields with legs rubbery and fingertips shriveled from seeking relief when everyone else was distracted. Imagine the glow she must have had from her third, her fourth clandestine orgasm, when she saw the single narcissus that, according to legend, was glowing as much as she. The myths portray Persephone as an innocent moth to the flame, lured by Hades, or Pluto, god of the underworld, when he performed a particularly evil-baitin' switch, and the naive young goddess plucked the flower that would seal her fate and open the world for her to fall into hell and into Hades' arms. We all know what it's like to feel the need for fucking and being fucked, remember needing it more than air for the very first time. Persephone floated awkwardly toward the Narcissus, I'm sure, all girlish knobby knees and elbows at angles and ears sticking out and pussy burning as hot as Helios, who, as everyone knows, watched her that day, watched her every day. The flower glowed like the sharp hard-on of her clit, and, made of the same stuff, it pulled her like a magnet. And when she crushed the flower to her mouth, squeezing the juice down her chin, destroying the blossom between her breasts, as her eyes rolled back in ecstasy and sweet pain in all things sexual, the earth opened up, and she slid home. When her mother Demeter panicked, she sent Hermes to find the lost little girl. But when Hermes wove his way deep down into the underworld, he did not find a fearful and frail Persephone. He encountered the radiant, striking, powerful, and sexually rapacious queen of the underworld. She was just fine, thanks. Still, she had to see her mom. Brow furrowed from the absurdity, she fretted her duty to Hades, worried that a trip to her chaste past might never end. The girls of the underworld wept crimson tears that they never might taste Persephone's sweet pussy again. Hades felt stretched by steel hooks inside. Taking his heart and his cock and his love in his hands, he cracked open a pomegranate and crushed the berries on Persephone's pillowy lips, staining them red forever. Then she left. She burned inside in the hollow spaces her lovers occupied, but her mother's name was still sweet on her tongue. Demeter, however, knew that the austere life she had fought to keep with her child was gone. The mother remembered a declaration that Zeus, king of the gods, had made from the heavens. For Persephone to return, she must be as pure as the day she left her mother's side. The garnet stain on Persephone's lips clearly showed that the girl had tasted the fruit of life. It could not be erased. And she liked it. Those tender lips curved into a soft, playfully hungry Mona Lisa smile, sweet with the surrender of innocence. There's a lot of that sort of thing between the pages of Best Women's Erotica 2009. In the stunning, unbelievably arousing Fly by Valerie Alexander, it's Night in Neverland and Tiger Lily is finally the sexually fierce young woman we always knew she'd become, much to the surprise of Peter and Wendy. On Loan by Lauren Wright describes a different sort of coming of age, where a woman is lent out by her husband to fulfill her number one fantasy of hotel room fuck-doll bliss, only to be surprised by a confrontation with a taboo that stems from her adolescent desires. Trixie Fontaine takes us for a spin in the well-crafted Fast Car Not For Sale, where long roads and a girl's souped-up hot rod lead to one of the sweetest deflowerings a young man could dream up. Waiting for the River by Chris Adams brings us another flower aching to be plucked. Here, a video camera gives a deeply shy woman an excuse to open herself to another girl in a surprisingly exhibitionistic turn. The talented Zan West makes us feel lucky in her tale of a submissive queer boy who surrenders to her mistress in every way, losing the virginity of complete sexual submission at a BDSM play party to a group of dominant strangers. D.L. King's snug designs might just make you want to slip into something skin-tight to read the rest of the book, in response to the protagonist's heated sexual adventures, coming out as a rubber fetishist at the hands of a handsome fetish designer. Courting Him by Deborah Castellano is a decadent and delirious visit to the Victorian era, where a fainting flower gets the upper hand of desire with her older male guardian and sinks into her first sexual takedown. In Jen Lewis's The Bitch in His Head, we see a takedown of great magnitude when a vicious germophobic executive has the tables turned on him by his young sex partner, bringing us yet another sexual first for both characters. When a woman meets a stern, bookish, yet handsome antique store owner in Donna George Story's The Secret History of Lust, her desire to gain access to his members-only backroom collection has her opening herself up in ways she'd only imagined in order to pass his tests. In Live Bed Show by Elizabeth Coldwell, a young woman shocks herself by staging her own public sex deflowering in an Amsterdam store window. As is often the case with anal sex, the first time is the worst time, such is the case with the woman in Ms. Naughty's Pasta with Blue Cheese and Anal, who finds that if at first you don't succeed, you can just have another first and enjoy ongoing success of the most blissful kind. The myth of the first man and the first woman and the first penetration gets a biting turn in Alana Noel Voth's intense, powerful, and lyrical Eve. Jealousy turns quickly into curiosity and then to overpowering sexual desire in What If? By Cheyenne Blue, where a femme follows through with a scary yet hot voyeuristic fantasy of watching her butch lover perform a lesbian de-virginizing on a nervous but wanton straight girl. Scarlet French delivers a perfect tale of an experienced sex toy shop clerk who anxiously tries out her first mix of pain and pleasure with some very inspiring results in Good Pony. And for all those who have ever wanted to cross the line between teacher and student, don't miss the unconventional and very explicit upending of this iconic fantasy in Elisa Garcia's Cardio. Some things you try once and just hit a sweet spot so good you have to make it a tradition, as with the creative gender-bending couple in Vanessa Vaughn's aptly titled Switch. Lux Zakari's female protagonist wants to know just what's so hot about sex with girls, and when she asks her male lover to describe it, she gets her first real view from between her own legs. Women who like sex with strangers love the endless line of first times stretching into their future. The eloquent and unerringly dirty Decorations, by Summer Marsden, capitalizes on that notion with a couple whose public adventures in female submission describe a realm of fantasy I hadn't yet seen. In Jacqueline Appleby's superb Hush, silence is more than golden. It's a relentless aphrodisiac for one woman who initiates a man into her intricate world of silent pleasures. The supremely talented Janine Ashbless brings two archaeologists together in a tight squeeze for a first encounter of the desperately lusty kind, mimicking a sacred initiation in ritual space. And, upon deciding that enough is enough with her attraction to the boy next door, KJB's The Girl Next Door surprises herself and the boy by taking the upper hand to create an unforgettably intense first for both of them, including at least one scene with a boy bent over a bathtub and a girl who fully comes into her own, and a sexual fruition when she takes what she wants rather than waiting around for it. This collection is a ruby red pomegranate, sacred to Persephone. This anthology is a fragrant narcissus that opens the earth when plucked. These stories are packed with first times, sexual initiations, women and men and genderqueers who try their number one desires on for the very first time and like it, thank you very much. Virginity of all kinds, except the typical, is lost to the strains of shaking, thundering, orgasmic bliss. There are furtive blowjobs, tense cunnilingus encounters, shockingly pleasurable spankings, desperate trysts, devious bindings, romantic couplings, and many, many taboos broken wide open like the path to the underworld itself. The strong women between these pages delight themselves knowing that there's always another first time. Of all the Best Women's Erotica volumes to date, this is the most unforgettable collection yet, a collection of delicious firsts to be visited as often as Persephone beckons. I hope you like it as much as I do. And I hope that you enjoyed the introduction to Best Women's Erotica 2009. It's a collection I just edited. It's full of extremely talented authors. And you can get it pretty much everywhere. Thank you for listening to Open Source Sex.